Hello, everyone.
All right, let's go ahead and get started. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you so much, Lord, for the things that you're showing us. And Lord, we thank you for being with us, leading us, and guiding us. And Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy upon each and every one of us. And Lord, we ask that you get us ready for this great time ahead. This great awakening in the lives of so many people out there that are in the apostate churches. Lord, this shaking that's coming. I ask that you protect your people, your called and your chosen people. And Father, we praise you and we glorify you for all the work that you're going to do. Lord, be with us tonight. Lead us into whatever it is that you'd have us to speak about and to talk about and to converse about, Lord. And to we just thank you, Lord, that you're in charge. Because when you're in charge, it's always a good time. And Father, we ask and we pray for your protection upon all of your chosen out there across the world. And Lord, we thank you for your protection upon those that are in the dangerous countries to be a Christian. And Father, we ask and we pray that the signs and wonders follow wherever they go, and that more and more people would come into the kingdom because of the word, the signs, and the wonders that are following them, Lord. We know that there's a great awakening in the Muslim countries. And Father, we thank you so much. You're the instigator of that one, and it was awesome. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, for opening up the doors in communist China once again for the Christians, that the communist Chinese would be booted out, and that a new republic would be restored in China. We thank you for your protection upon all of those that are doing that in the name of Jesus. And Father, we ask and we pray for your protection upon all of the patriots, the white hats, so-called white hats, and also for President Trump and his family in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for exposing all the things that have happened, exposing the evilness that has permeated that Washington, D.C. area and the lives of the children that have been destroyed physically and mentally, for bringing them out, Lord. And those, Lord, that you know that won't contribute, won't come out and be healed, we ask that you take them, Lord. They've suffered enough. And Father, we thank you for that. And Lord, the men and women that are bringing those children out from under that tunnel underneath the White House and the Congress, we thank you, Lord, for healing their minds, healing their minds from all of the stuff that they've seen down under there. And we praise you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we ask and we pray that you place it in people's hearts to get that free energy out in time for your people to utilize it in the days ahead. And we thank you for all that you're going to accomplish this night as well. Lord, encourage us with your presence. Encourage us with your signs and wonders also. Encourage us with the gifts that would be in operation in this group right here. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father, for being our God. Thank you, Father, for leading us and guiding us in every direction that you want us to go, Lord. But place it in our hearts to be able to be led by you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, all right. We got any prayer requests? There was silence.
I have one, Michael.
Okay, Debbie.
Yeah, I talked to my sister-in-law today, and she's from Illinois visiting my other sister in Gulf Springs, Alabama, Gulf Shores, Alabama. But then after that, she's going to go to Mobile, Alabama to visit with her sister, who right now is somewhere in Louisiana with her husband, because he's been a survivor twice of cancer. They're both Christians. And, but they believe that having this vaccine will help him, because if he would get it, and being, they're saying, tell him the risk he is because of this cancer liability, or is that the right word? Risk, I guess. He needs to get these vaccines. So now Tammy, my sister-in-law, and Charlie, my brother, have tried to talk to them about these vaccines, but they don't really buy it. They don't, you know, they just haven't really bought what they've said and believed them. So they've tried to get the vaccines, and three times something has happened to put off these vaccines. I forget what she gave me the reasons. They've been praying. I didn't even know about it till today. But they've been praying, and three times now they've been put off. So she's supposed to go back to see them by Friday. So we're just praying that it keeps getting put off, that they don't get these vaccines. And I talked to her today and told her, and she realizes they're not really a vaccine to prevent this disease. So just pray that her sister, whose name is Abby, her husband, I can't remember his name, he's Italian. His name.
Not
anyway, so anyway, God, we thank you, Lord, that we know you're answering prayer, and you've stopped them from getting this vaccine now, as it's called, three times now. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would just continue this, Lord, and that they will not have to come under this, Lord, and that he will not, neither one of them will take this, Lord, and that they'll just get back home. And Lord, we just pray that their eyes will be opened, as Tammy and Charlie's even speak more to them about it, and you will give them the words to say, and then you will give them the grace to speak, Lord, and that you will give Abby and her husband the grace to hear and receive. And Father, we just come against this cancer in her brother-in-law's body, God, and we bind that spirit of cancer in Jesus' name. We pray, Father, that you would just let their faith rise, Lord, and in you, Lord, and have trust in your faith in your word and what you've done, that you became the curse for them. And so, Lord, we thank you for the wonderful work you're going to do in this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. We believe with them.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, that they're not going to be able to take it, that they don't want to take it after they do a little research. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Nominate. Go ahead, brother.
So, just a quick praise report. I know this isn't the praise report part, but the fellowship went real good last night, so that was good. But something happened, during the end of the night that kind of got me, just feeling, upset. Not mad, but just upset, sad and everything. And then I woke up, and I was still kind of feeling that way. And I was running late to work. This is just a quick thing. I don't want to complain too much, but... So, I thought I worked at 3. I worked at 1. So, I was on my way to work walking. And I was getting real... I was just, real upset. So, I was praying to God to kind of, ease my mind and calm me down. And as I was praying that, some truck drove by and sprayed slush all over me. So I was nice. So I've been, just been real down today, and I don't want to continue feeling like that. And I don't want to be led by emotion either. So just wanted to pray with you guys. That's all right.
Okay.
So Lord, I just ask that you help me and encourage me and help me realize that you're sovereign and continue to grow my faith, Lord. And I repent for being upset all day. I should have just been joyful and everything. And I know that, I should not be concerned about any fiery trial. It's just to strengthen me, Lord, and that this light affliction and nothing compared to what you had to go through. And I'm sorry for getting into my flesh, Lord. I thank you and I praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for place him in dominate to just start praising you when that feeling comes on him. And Lord, he'll come right out of it, because I know I've done it myself, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Okay, Malcolm, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I was just going to pray for Dominique, if that's okay.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Lord, I just thank you for what you're working through Dominique. And we request that you help him, as you already are, to help him to enter into that Sabbath rest, that Sabbatismos, into that continual rest in you. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anyone else? Yeah. Judy, go ahead.
It's me. I was just talking to my daughter this evening, and she's doing better in one sense. She's starting to really pray and just turn to the Lord and turn away from those things that she needed to turn away from. But she's been having battles every day. She has battles dealing with her husband. That's just been hard to deal with. He's in a wheelchair, but he's just, demons have used him. And the house that they're in, the part of the shed roof broke through, and there's animals that are starting to get in the house. They've been starting to get in the house, and they found another area in the house, and there's no way she can fix it, and because she doesn't know how to do it. And her husband does know somebody that could do that, but I don't know if he's called him or not. But so she's under a lot of stress, and but she's wanting to pray, you know, get into the Word and pray together, as long as she's not by herself, because she's by herself. Her husband doesn't get into the Word. He doesn't get into anything like that. And so I'll probably try, as the Lord wills, I will get into the Word with her, with my sister. And anyway, but I'd like to pray over this situation. So, Lord, I just lift up Tanya to you and all these trials that she's been going through. Lord, I thank you, Father, that you've got her away from the things that she shouldn't be doing. And you got her attention. And I thank you, Father, that you're going to show her and guide her and lead her into more of your Word and your truth. Lord, she's willing to go in and reading some of the books and read the Bible together. That's a plus. That's not been that way before. And I thank you, Father, for getting her to that place. And I know she feels desperate about a lot of things, having to deal with the house the way it is, and having to deal with all the finances. That's been kind of tough for her and for Willie too. And I just pray, Father God, that I know that you're working on her and it's all for the good. And I thank you, Father, for that, because I wouldn't want her to be lost. Just like you wouldn't want her to be lost. So all these trials that she's been going through, Lord, are for her good. Lord, help her to keep being in rest, seeking you, keep seeking you and wanting to seek your Word and see your truth. Lord, open her eyes more to the truth, that she'd be set free, and Willie too, and help them to be able to pray together and work together over these trials that they're going through, that they would come together and pray and seek you, Lord, and that they would hear from you. And I bind up all those evil spirits that have hindered them in the past. And I pray, Father God, that they will rise up and take the stand against the enemy for themselves and put Satan under their feet and get into the prayers and be built up in you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay. So did you say this was your sister?
My daughter.
Oh, Tanya. Your daughter. Okay. Okay.
But it's going to be my daughter. I did mention my sister. My daughter and my sister, whenever we can get together on a three-way call, then we'll be going over the Word or going over one of the books that Brother Eels has made. So.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So Lord, we just thank you for doing that and making that a priority for her, for Tanya, and your sister as well. And Father, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Willie, you be healed in the name of Jesus.
Amen. And also, I forgot something else. Lord, I just pray that you would send laborers to help them to fix that house the way it's supposed to be, that your grace and mercy would be on her, that Lisa, that the animals cannot come in anymore, and fix those areas there. And Father, I pray that if you want them to be connected, Tanya and Willie, that you will make a way for them to connect with whoever you want them to connect with, whether it's a local church gathering, wherever you want them to go, Lord, let there be some brothers and sisters that could connect with them and help them in their times of need. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father.
One thing that they could look at, if it's not too bad, is throw a tarp over that and nail it down. Keep the animals out of there. Oh, that's, can't hear you, Sue.
I think she said there's another spot that's not the roof. It's the shed roof, which is connected to the garage, which the garage is connected to the house. But it's on the other side. There must be a hole somewhere where we had a bird aviary and might be somewhere over there. They're coming in. I don't know.
Lord, help them get it fixed in Jesus' name. Amen. That's got to be kind of scary for her. Okay, anyone else? Yeah, Mike, go ahead.
Yeah, I have. It's my car again. I have the yearly, what do you call it, motor vehicle inspection coming up. And windshield wipers have stopped working. There's some fuse. Whenever I change the fuse, it just right away when I start using them, it just, I don't know what you say, but the fuse is gone again. So there's something wrong there. It doesn't roll the way it should. I don't know if the brakes are on or something like that. So just to trying to walk in faith, but I would sure appreciate if you can join in faith for this, that everything goes well and that this thing with the windshield wipe was just supernaturally healed. So small prayer request, but be grateful if you agree with me in faith.
All right. We command that short in the wiring on that windshield wiper to be fixed in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for doing that for Mike. We thank you, Lord. Next time he uses those wipers, they're going to work from now on. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for Mike. In Jesus' name. Amen. No more fuses blown.
Thank you. Amen.
Something you could think about is putting a nail in there. But don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. God's going to fix it. I'm just kidding you now. Amen. Go ahead, Dominique.
I just wanted to pray and agree with this, and just, Lord, I just thank you for complete healing over this car and complete healing over any technical issues, Lord. I'm not a mechanic, Lord, but I know that you created everything that's in that car, so I just ask that you fix it, and I agree in faith with everybody else here that it is done, and that when it goes to check out the windshield wipers, it'll be working, and I just give all glory to you, Lord, and just praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Joe.
The last couple of days, I experienced a pain in my right hip. We can just pray agreement with that, please. It'll be gone again, please. Healing.
Wait. Okay, help me out here. Okay, Judy.
Amen, Joe. Father, I thank you for Joe. Thank you for his life. And I thank you, Lord, that all pain in his body but specifically in that right hip, you have to go in the name of Jesus, because Joe was not under the curse. And Lord Jesus, you bore that pain in your body on the cross. And we claim that healing in Jesus' name. It's not going to give Joe any more problems. It's not going to move from one part to the other. It's going to go from his body. And thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen. I believe it. I believe it. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
Tracy. Yeah. Go ahead, Marilyn.
I wanted to pray for Sue's daughter, Tanya.
Okay.
Father, I just, if there's a door that's being opened here to allow these, I was thinking about it, these beasts coming into the house, the carnal nature. And Father, for Tanya, because it's just so much a part of our carnal flesh, I bind up any spirits of bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness, criticism, judgment, frustration, annoyance. And especially towards her husband. And Father, I thank you and praise you that the angels are taking care of that right now. And Father, we just command an outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon those two. Father, that you draw them to you by the power of the Holy Spirit. Pour out a spirit of repentance on both of them. I pray that you strengthen Tanya in the inner man, that you enlighten the eyes of her understanding, that you grant unto her the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Father, that the Holy Spirit is going to be her helper, her comforter, and especially as Sue and Tanya's aunt would minister the word, that she's going to be able to receive that, and that she's going to get set free of the bondage of the flesh. And we pray against that Antichrist spirit in Willie. We bind that up in the authority of the mighty name of Jesus. We bind up that crippling spirit in the authority of the mighty name of Jesus, and that spirit of disability. These are lies. This is deception. This is demonic activity and strongholds, and we bind them up in the authority of the mighty name of Jesus. And Father, I pray the ministering of the Holy Ghost to him, that he's going to see a real change in Tanya, and he's going to want what she's got. And Lord, you just, he's going to quickly come repent and come into the kingdom. And I thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Yes, amen. Lord.
Thank you. I'm sorry. Thank you for praying that. His name is Bernie. Her husband's name is Bernie. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
Thank you, Sister Willie. Willie is my grandson. He's staying with him, but he's
okay.
He's a believer. He doesn't know a lot, but that's you. Yeah, I appreciate the prayers, because when you were saying all that, I thought, amen. You heard from the Lord.
Well, thank you. The Lord knows his name. He knows.
Yeah, I do.
Okay, thank you,
thank
Lord.
You so much.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. We believe. Go ahead, Tracy.
Well, good evening. How are you guys?
We are blessed beyond our wildest dreams. Everybody in here.
Fair enough. Hey, I'm not sure if you're doing prayer requests or whatnot, or if it's appropriate time to ask, but we have quite the topic going on a couple of threads. And the question is, do children go to hell? And yeah, it's that blunt. So I was just wondering, have we went through that topic on here at all, Michael? Anything recorded I could send them?
Oh, I have to look and see. I don't know. Julie might be the one to ask about that, or Angelica.
Okay. Or if not, maybe we can discuss that. I mean, I just kind of vaguely gave an answer that, hey, you know, the Lord's the righteous judge, leave it up to him. There is an age of accountability, but I don't know. I personally think it's different for each kid as well, you know, but yep, anyways, I'd like to send them something if we have it, but God bless everybody.
Okay. I got it down. All right. Yeah, Judy.
Tracy, there might be something in the Sovereign God book over like on that subject. I can't remember exactly now with what chapter that might be in, but I don't think about or even in the predestined called and elect, there might be something in there too on that, those teachings on that. But the Bible says, you know, that, you know, to the kingdom, you know, it belongs to the children. You know,
yeah, well, yeah. Sister, you'd be surprised the answers people are putting. That's why I kind of like a, you know, a discussion or a, you know, a man of God's teaching or something, you know, instead of these ambiguous, you'd just be surprised. A lot of people are like, oh, yeah, if they're like six plus, I'm thinking, really? You know, anyways.
Yeah, I get it. Anyhow, I would look through, like, do you have a copy of the Sovereign God book, Tracy?
I'm not sure. Is that a newer one or is that an older one? Because David's.
Yeah, that's like one of the first books they put in publication, but it's a PDF on the site.
Okay, I had to look for that. I do have a lot of David's books. I actually bought them for my husband.
Yeah, I think Jeremy's got one.
Yeah. So it's in my library then.
Okay. Yeah. I would skim through the Sovereign God book, the chapters. On there, I know there's some stuff in there about children. I remember David talking about that.
Yeah,
predestined, called, and elect might have something in there too.
Okay, I didn't know if we ever, you know, because I'm not in every meeting. I didn't know if we ever went through it here as well. It's really good when we go through. Yeah. Well, hey, put it in the hat there.
Okay.
Thanks, guys. God bless you.
All right, George, did you have your hand up a while ago?
Yeah, I was going to pray for Tanya and them also. I felt like that was a parable for the whole body of Christ, that God's calling all of us, all of them in from the highways and hedges, and he wants us all to experience that Mount Zion living where the beast can't get up to us, and that we should expect that from here on out, that we are living in that glory realm where we're shining greater than the Lord and the world, and those beasts just can't touch us.
Amen. Yes, we are. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else?
I'd like to pray if that's okay.
Sure. Yeah.
I have a lot of family members who are without electricity for like the second day or now. And I have a friend in Texas who says that that they may not even have power restored till possibly Friday. And so I just want to pray for God's supernatural power and strength to be with them and to warm them. My grandma's elderly and she doesn't do well in the cold. So I just want to just pray. So Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you, Father God, for what you're doing, Father God. I know that you use all things according to your wisdom, Father God, and that you work out things according to your will, Father God. So I just thank you that you're allowing this to happen to them, Father God, that you're going to draw them unto yourself, Father God, and cause them to call upon your name in their time of need, Father. But I loose the angels, Father God, to supernaturally surround the houses, Father God, protect them, keep them, Father God. And to warm them, Father God, I ask that you would supernaturally keep their houses warm, Lord God, in Jesus' name, Father God, and that we just command, Father God, the warm weather to come out, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. And Father, I ask that you provide water and food for those in Corpus Christi, Father God, who don't have any water, and those whose pipes have frozen, Father God. Lord, I just thank you, Lord. You're putting them in a place of weakness that they can call upon your name, Father. And I just thank you for keeping them round about, Father God, speaking to them, Lord God, and telling and just giving them direction, Father God. And I just thank you for doing that, Father God, just keeping them, Lord God, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Brandy was telling me today that there's something like 5 million people in Texas without electricity. That's a bunch. Lord, we thank you for restoring it for all of them, in Jesus' name. Amen. That's how they got all kinds of electricians down there from other companies. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Missy.
I'd like to add to Angelica's prayer, you know, when you mentioned there about the, all kinds of electricians there to help. Father, I just ask you to send forth your angels and you give them the extra help that they need to get the electricity working back quickly. I ask in Jesus' name, and just do supernatural work on behalf of them all. Give them, we just ask you to give them the wisdom, the revelation that they need, things that they can do, Lord. And like I said, send your angels to give them miraculous help in doing this work and get it done in a miraculous time frame, in Jesus' name. Amen. We thank you, Lord, for sending your angels and giving your elect the warmth that they need, Lord, supernaturally. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. All right, George, go ahead.
I just remembered I've got a few groups that I'm sowing seed as a eunuch for the Lord, sowing his seed into a few groups for faith. I've got a school in Haiti with some leadership that I'm helping, a couple of Jehovah's Witnesses that I'm hopefully still got an open door to, an elderly group that they're going to let me teach at the local church. So I just feel like God has opened a lot of doors, and that as I'm just claiming the role of a sower of his seed, and that he's going to give more seed to the sower as I'm faithful and listen and he puts words in my mouth. So Father, I just thank you right now that you have ordained this time for your faith to go forward and be planted in the hearts of these individuals, and that your seed shall not come back void, Lord, that you're accomplishing everything that you want to do, that you're giving me revelation and in a simple way that such that a child could receive it. You're going to allow me to impart life through your word and your will and your spirit, Lord. So I just hide behind the cross and let you do your work and live through me, Lord. And I bless each of these groups tonight, Lord. And I thank you that there is life going into their lives, and that there, as we all teach the Jesus of the Bible, there are rivers of living water flowing out of our bellies. And it's just going to consume all of the darkness and all of the drought around us, Lord. You're flooding the earth with light, life, and life-giving water of the word, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for letting that word go out and letting that power of the word go out, in Jesus' name. Yeah, go ahead, Malcolm.
I got a notice from the video people that are putting together a second season for The Chosen, which some of you may have heard about, and they're probably opinions about whatever they're doing. But anyway, they put out a request. They're filming in Texas, or trying to, but they've had to, because of the weather, had to kind of stop. And they're paying $100,000 a day to keep the crew and everything in hotels or wherever they are. But a lot of the hotels, the water's freezing, and they're having to scamper around trying to find places that aren't, you know, that have water and whatever. So anyway, Lord, I don't know how much these folks are operating by faith, but they ask for prayer. So I just ask that you guide in affairs pertaining to what they're doing, and ask that you help them to learn to live by faith. But right now, I'm just asking for your help in what's going on there. And thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, Theo, go ahead.
Alana. I just wanted to lift up my friend Jim Dungan over in Arizona. He's I spoke about him earlier. He's in his 70s. I sent him Sovereign God, and he recently contacted me and said that it's kind of over his head. And I understand what that's like, because the spiritual understanding isn't there yet, and I just wanted to pray for him. Father, that you just open up his spiritual ears and his spiritual eyes so that he could see and hear your word, that it grips him, and you just open your floodgates of knowledge and wisdom and understanding into his heart, and give him a desire to read that book completely and just fill his life with your grace. He's in and out of surgery constantly, and he's in a lot of pain, so it's tough for him to stay positive. He's on a lot of meds, and they're basically keeping him alive. And Father, you just take control. We come against all spirits of infirmity and all spirits of confusion or cloudiness of mind. We come against all of that and command all that to go in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, for his healing, and that you're going to do a mighty work through him, and that we're going to hear a great testimony from Jim. And I thank you for that, Father. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for Mr. Jim Duncan. Open his eyes and his ears to hear, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Mike, go ahead.
Yeah, I searched through the books here. I put them all in one PDF file, so I had that handy. So I searched for accountability. I figured maybe something would turn up. And in Predestined, Called, and Elect, on page, in the PDF here, on page 145, David talks about it. Let's see where to start. If I start to read a little bit here, it's not that long. This shows us that God at least considers innocence among children or babies. Abijah was a small child, and God didn't impute iniquity to this small child. That leads me to believe the further we get away from birth, the more dangerous it becomes, because we become more responsible as we acquire knowledge. Innocence is not based on some age of accountability or age of reason, as theologians have told us, because you can't find that in the Bible. Folks, God imputes iniquity with knowledge, James 4:17. To him, therefore, that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. And I'll stop there. Just thought I'd share that, if that is helpful. I don't know.
Okay. All right. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Pat.
Mike, what page was that on again?
Page 145, and then I went over to 146 and read until the scripture there at the top. So 145.
145 and 146. Okay.
That's in the PDF.
What book?
Predestined.
Call and let.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay.
I just had one a question for Sue. It was Ernie that was in the wheelchair, I believe.
Bernie.
That's a backward B. Thorny. Can you share a bit of, what's the reason he's in the wheelchair? Did he have an accident or what?
He was told that he doesn't have long to live, that he has heart condition, that he only has, I think, 20 or 30% use of his heart. That's why he's in a wheelchair. He still can do stuff. I think he's in his early 60s.
Okay.
Yeah. Another thing about him, he's kind of been on his own for a lot of years before they got married. He had been married before, and he had a girlfriend before, and he has children, some children from a previous marriage. But when he was a child, he was abused by his father and his stepfather. And after that, I think he just kind of was more on his, kind of would get away from them, kind of on his own. So he's had whatever demons he's had them for a long time.
Survival mentality, probably.
I'm sorry, what?
Survival mentality?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
Father, just lift up Bernie to you, Lord. I know to him that believes nothing is impossible with you, that you are greater than all of our sin. And Lord, when we look at the facts, every one of us are the same distance from death, and that's just the next breath. And so Bernie is no closer than anyone else in this room. But Father, I thank you, Lord, that your word is life. And I pray, Lord, that you would allow your word bring forth someone to speak, whether it be Tanya or some of the other folks there, that you would speak just that word that he needs, that word that would trigger his own thinking, his thinking in himself that, where am I to go but to God? Where can I look except to the possibility of God being there? Father, would you open up his thinking? I bind any spirit of bitterness, anger. I bind any spirit of hatefulness, of resentment, of rejection. I bind that spirit of rejection that he has probably felt all of his life from his father. I bind that right now. I cut it. I disable it in the name of Jesus Christ. And I command healing to come into his heart and his mind. Put a spirit of desire. Father, just put a spirit of desire to look to you, to look to see if really a God exists. Put it in his heart, Lord. Allow him to look past the spectacle of the religious system of today. Give him grace in his heart, knowing and feeling his own mortality, to look to you, to look, to seek, pray that you would put a seeking heart in him. For Father, it is by your grace that we are saved. Not only that unmerited favor, but by that divine influence upon the inner man, upon our heart, that pulls us out of the thinking that we have nowadays and move us into thinking about you and the possibilities that exist in you. And only you can do that, and I thank you for it. Just cooperate. We come together tonight to cooperate for this man's life and ask you to pour your word into his heart and grant him a repentant heart to open up his eyes and his ears and just to look to you for that possibility of life. And Lord, you said that if we seek you with our whole heart, our whole single heart, that you will be found for us. So we thank you for that, Lord. We claim his life in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind those that would come against him, those spirits that are even attacking him from within right now. We neutralize them by the word of God, by the commandment of Jesus, that whatsoever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you that you have placed the spirits under our authority, Lord. You've given us authority to tread on them, and we do now tread upon those right now in his life right now, and we thank you for it. Be healed, Bernie. Let your mind be healed. Open up your mind to the truth and the word of God and be healed by that healing power in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Pat. We believe it, Lord. Okay. Anyone else? What's the topic tonight? No. Okay, Missy, what is it? You got your hand up? Or are you just saying, I don't know? I don't know. I got one here. Go ahead, Pat. I didn't see your hand. Go ahead.
I take it back. I'll listen to yours.
Okay. How possible is it to have Jesus himself with us and never to know it? How possible to preach of and to listen to all the truth about himself and yet not know him? And that comes out of St. Luke, the 24th chapter and the 31st verse. And their eyes were opened and they knew him. So I guess the question is this: can you be baptized, be filled with the Holy Spirit, and still not know Christ? I'm opening it up. This is just a little discussion here. Go ahead, Julie.
Can you define what you mean by knowing him? Because I think we all know him, but it's just we know him by in our infancy of knowing him to our growth and maturity in knowing him. So
know him as you're knowing him as someone that is special and personal to you. Someone that you talk with daily, someone that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Lord Jesus Christ is with you and guiding you and leading you.
So your question is, again, can you be baptized with the Holy Spirit and
and still not know the Lord.
And still not know him.
Not in a personal way. You know what I'm saying?
I would say yes, that's probably possible for people. Yeah.
I think we got a whole bunch of churches out there that like that. Many are called, right? A few are chosen. But anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there. And I'm seeing all the hands raised here. Go ahead, Barbara.
I think a lot of people, or some people, know about him, but they don't draw close to him to get to know him on a more personal level, maybe because they're not willing to obey everything the scripture says, because we know him through the word, and we don't just, you know, like, we obey the word, so that makes us more, I would say more, what's the word I'm looking for? We experience him much more because we're abiding in him and he reveals himself to us. And therefore we experience him and not just know about him. You know, I think a lot of people, you know, maybe a lot of people in the churches, they just know about him. They don't really know him. Personally, I don't know if I'm making any sense. I have a lack of words. I don't know how to, I don't know how to explain it as I know it myself. So I guess that's all.
Okay. All right. Go ahead. George, did you have your hand up again? I saw you had your hand up. You're right there beside Barbara at that one time.
Yeah, I guess I'll go for it. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance, and you can see people that are highly gifted and prophetic and all these things, but if they walk out from under the relationship of God and just cook on their own gas, they can get a following for themselves. You see these denominations that when they started in a revival or a sovereign move of God, everybody in the whole place was close to God and there were no superstars, but then they build denominations around those initial gatherings, and they lose the fire and lose the closeness and the dependency on God. And I think we all have to keep coming back to our first love and make sure we've gotten close and never lose our first love, so that we, like she was saying, that we do what he tells us to do. That's how we know that we love him. We obey him. And when he says, you can do nothing without me, if we don't hold on to that, then we may just walk out in the flesh and forget how much we need him. That's all I got.
Amen. Amen. I'm reminded of the disciples after Jesus was crucified, walking on the way to Emmaus. Remember that? They were sad and troubled in their heart. Did they know Jesus had been resurrected after he'd already told them? No, he didn't. He had to come back and reaffirm that. Gosh, I got all these hands up. Who's next? Go ahead, Sue or Judy.
I'd like to read a scripture. Matthew. Where was it? I lost it. Matthew 7, 21 and 23. This always made me think they didn't really know him because was it what he said. Matthew 7, 21 to 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name cast out demons and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers, who practice lawlessness. That came to me right away when you were saying that scripture. I remember first reading that, I couldn't understand, why did he say that, you know? And just like you said, how can we cast out demons? We have to have the power, be endued with power from on high, right? So that's what came to me.
Well, Judas went with the disciples. He knew Jesus, but he didn't know Jesus.
Yeah, that's another good one. Yeah.
The what, Judy?
Yeah.
I said Judas went with the disciples and he casted out demons and he knew Jesus, but he didn't know Jesus.
Well, the disciples themselves didn't know Jesus.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Until after he came back and gave them and drew them in closer and they breathed the Holy Spirit in them. Okay, let's see. Malcolm.
Yeah, I was hoping to find in the Bible, look up no and how it's used. But I think typically it's speaking of a sexual relationship. If you know somebody in a physical, in the physical literal sense, but Paul even alludes to that, or not alludes, he talks about it directly, that and then he says it's a great mystery, but I speak of Christ concerning the church. But, you know, spiritually, it would just, to me, it would be an intimate relationship. It would be an understanding and a close relationship of the other person. Of course, we're talking about God here. So...
Amen.
People back in high school, I went to a Christian high school, and people, kids get pretty nasty sometimes, but they say things like, they would go around and say, I know you, and of course you know what they were thinking. And anyway, fortunately that didn't live long, but.
Okay. All right, Pat, go ahead. Pat, you have to unmute. We can't read your lips.
We don't have the gift of reading lips in this room.
I don't think that's one of the gifts.
Okay. Let me start from the beginning. I want to pick up where Sue left off reading, because I think the next section of the scripture, believe it or not, the Lord was showing me this very thing this morning, and it wasn't in this particular scripture. So, but I want to just pick up here where she left off. And he said, then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And it goes right into, everyone therefore that heareth these words of mine and doeth them shall be likened unto a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Excuse me. And everyone that heareth these words of mine and doeth them not. And I think that's a very important three words. Doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and smote upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall thereof. Jesus connected knowing him and made a connection with obeying him. And there's a direct link. Then I'd like to flip over to John 10, chapter 10. And this is what I was in this morning. And I'm going to skip around here, but basically he's talking about in verse 1, I am the good, basically he's the good shepherd, but he is the door into the fold of the sheep. He entered in by the door. He that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter opened, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And I just saw this when Sue was reading, I was thinking about, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and lead them out. In other words, the shepherd entered in to by the door, and then he leads his sheep out. So I'm not sure of the connection there, exactly what that means, but I just thought I would snag it there in case anybody might be thinking about it as well. When he put forth his own, when he hath put forth his own, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. So those that know Jesus not only hear his voice, but they follow him. I think there's a connection there. A stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Now, he didn't say they wouldn't hear the voice of strangers. He said they don't know the voice of strangers, because they know that that voice is a stranger. It isn't the shepherd, it's a stranger. So I drop down to verse 14, and where Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I know mine own, and mine own know me, even as the Father knoweth me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also must I bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall become one flock, one shepherd. And then I go down all the way to verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who hath given them unto me, is greater than all, sovereign God. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. And it just hit me that, as I was thinking, as that connection of hearing the shepherd's voice, those who are able to hear his voice and follow him in the regeneration are those that know God, and I believe that knowing is connected with awareness, and that awareness of of Jesus expands every time you take steps following him in obedience, and that awareness grows of his life within us. And so I guess to me, it's that progression of it's knowing him is not only just knowing about him, it's knowing, following, living, becoming aware, responding, taking the next step, and continuing the walk. So that's all I had to say.
That's good, Pat. Thank you. Go ahead, Dominique.
So, I mean, I was actually just talking about this with my coworker earlier because I told him he should read Matthew. He's going to the Marines soon, and I, you know, not that I don't support our troops kind of thing, but obviously we shouldn't kill people. And I was kind of telling him that when he first told me about it, but I didn't get too into it. I didn't want to make him like weird out or anything, but I told him to read Matthew, and I was like, he says he believes in God. So I told him, you know, like that's great and all. Don't get me wrong. But like, if you don't spend time with him, you know, you're not going to know him. I was like, if you go to church, like think about like, if we went to the same party together and we were there together for, you know, a while, we might talk a little bit, but there's so many people around, we're not going to know each other personally. And then I said, but if we went to hunt out one-on-one for a while, you know, then you'd get to know me a little bit more personally. And that's kind of how church is, you know, you don't get to know Jesus personally while you're doing that. It's fellowship's great. And you know, Jesus is in the midst, but you know, reading his word is how you get closer to him. Because he is the word made flesh. And I was just explaining that to him. He seemed to like it. You know, he said he was going to read Matthew and everything. So it was a good talk.
Amen. Amen. All right. Go ahead, Angelica. You're up, girl.
I just wanted to share some scripture and just all pretty much based with, you know, what everyone is saying. I have like quite a few scriptures, but just quickly, I think your question was, you know, are we able to know God, you know, with the Holy Spirit, you know? And so I think, I mean, the short of it is that we were all made meet to be partakers is what the Bible says. We have the ability to know him, especially if we're given the Holy Spirit, but that doesn't mean that everyone's going to take advantage of that. And so Philippians 3, 9 through 11, well, I'll just read 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. So we come being conformed unto his death. So the way we come to know the Lord is through the fellowship of his suffering. So if we're not suffering because we're walking in obedience to the word, then we're not able to know, you know, Jesus. We're not able to come into that same glory. And there's, you know, a couple more scriptures that will come to my mind is Matthew 11, you know, is it 28? Okay, so Matthew 11, I'll just read 26 through 28. Yea, Father, for so it was well-pleasing in thy sight. All things have been delivered unto me of my Father, and no one knoweth the Son save the Father, neither doth any know the Father save the Son, to whomsoever the Son willeth to reveal him. So, you know, again, we're made responsible by the word to walk in the light that we have. And when we walk in that light, we, you know, the Lord reveals to us more and more of him. And so, it goes back to what Pat was saying and others that, you know, if we're, you know, hearers of the word and not doers of the word, then we're only going to go so far with the Lord. So our knowledge of him is going to be limited. And so John 14, 15 through 31, oh, I'm sorry, I'm not going to read all that. Just 15. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, or helper, or paraclete, that he may be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, for it beholdeth him not,
neither knoweth him. You know him, and he abideth with you, and he shall be in you. So the comfort, it's saying here that, you know, the comforter is the Spirit of truth. But again, it goes back to being a hearer of the word and not doer of the word. James 1, 22 to 25, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deluding your own selves. For if any one is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in the mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth away and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. So he's not going to be coming into the image of the Lord, and he's not going to be given any more, because the Bible says that whosoever hath, it shall be given, and to whosoever hath not, it shall be taken away. So if you're not doing anything or walking in the light that you've been given, you're not going any further, and you're not going to come to know him any further. And I really love Proverbs 4:18. But the path of the righteous is as the dawning light that shineth more and more into the perfect day. So, and that comes to the scripture, 1 John 1:5-7, or I'll read 6 and 7. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and that's what we're talking about, having fellowship, having coming to know the Lord with him and walk in darkness, we lie not and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So we're able to walk in that truth and the light, and we come more into his image, more into his glory, and we're able to know more about him. And so, you know, that's, and, you know, the sad part is, you know, you can read John 3:19. It says, and this is the judgment, that the light is come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their works were evil. So people choose not to walk in the light because either they don't want their sins to be reproved and brought to the light, or they don't like suffering. And so, you know, it's just by the grace of God, we have 3,600 fold fruit. I mean, so they can still bear fruit, but it's just as far as they're willing to go is as much as they're going to know the Lord. Yeah. So that's all I wanted to share.
Okay, that's good. Go ahead, Julie.
My turn. Some of the scriptures that were coming to me were about knowing him. I'll start in Hebrews 8. I won't read all of this, but 2:10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws into their mind, and on their heart also I will write them. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be unto me a people. And they shall not teach every man his fellow citizen and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest of them. And the other scriptures that were coming to my mind on that were in 1 John 2. Hang on here. Oops. First John chapter 2, verse 3. And hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily hath the love of God been perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought to also walk even as he walked. And the other ones that were coming to my mind were in that same chapter. Let's see. 1 John 2:12. I write unto you, my little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. And I write unto you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I have written unto you, little children, because you know the Father. And I have written unto you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the evil one. And I just think, as all these scriptures everyone was sharing, is everybody, when you start out with the Lord and you know, God knows the heart of each and every individual, and who's the called and the elect, and who's chosen, and those, and he knows that their heart is obeying God, and they really do love God, and doesn't matter what stage you are in your growth, 30, 60, 100 fold, if you're maturing in the Lord, and you're continuing to abide in him, and walk, and trying to obey, and learning to overcome, you will know the Lord, and you know you'll, and that is just the whole obedience thing. As Angelica was saying, it's like you have to suffer with him. And those who are unwilling to admit their sin, they'd rather hide in the dark and not reveal their sin and confess it and get rid of it. They don't want the darkness to be revealed in them. It's like, you know, people's fruits are going to be known. You know, you're going to know who's who over time, but if someone continues to walk with God, they're going to bear fruit, and they're going to obey, and they're going to continue to grow. And at whatever stage you are in your growth, you're going to know the Lord, because he is going to make it known what the truth is. He's going to make it known what the law is to them, and he's going to cause them to grow and overcome, and he's going to do the perfecting. But it is, can you, as Michael asked the question, can you be baptized in the Holy Spirit and still not know God? Yeah, you can, because if you're not obedient to the truth and you're not following after the Lord, it's going to be evident who's who over time.
Amen. Let me just say, you raised up a good point there. There are different stages of a Christian's walk. When he first comes to Christ, you know, as long as he's got his eyes on Jesus, he's doing what all that he knows to do, and he is sanctified, right? He is listening to God. He knows what the word said. He's running after God with all his heart. He surrendered everything to him. Okay, Dave, go ahead, brother.
What a raise my hand, but I kept on going. The participants, I couldn't find it where I could raise my hand. That was kind of strange. I would say first and foremost, you have to have the Spirit of God. You have to have Spirit of Christ in you. And that would probably be the first and foremost thing you know before you even know him. And one of the things that Paul said was very poignant about this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1, he says, "Now I declare unto you, brothers, that the good news, or the gospel which I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand." So we have to have good teachers that are spirit anointed, that are teaching the gospel, teaching the truth. And they say, "By which you also are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you have believed in vain." So we're getting the word from somebody that is trusted to give out the word of God, that has been anointed and appointed by God to give out the word. And if you're not receiving that from somebody that's anointed and appointed to give out that word, you might be getting something that you're believing in that's vanity, that's not bringing you in the image of Jesus Christ. That is not the true Christ, which is out there, another Jesus, another gospel. That's the first danger you have coming into any kind of religion, is, are you receiving the true Jesus? Because if you don't get the true Jesus through the word of God, through an anointed person, you're going to come into another Jesus and another gospel. That's the danger. How can you know Jesus if you don't have the true Jesus in the first place? Very dangerous place to be. So that's where David talks about, hey, get in and read the word, read it for yourself, you know, check it out. Make sure what you're reading lines up with what you're being taught. And two, a lot of people out there went, but they weren't sent. Very dangerous place to be. So you have a lot of people out there teaching and preaching. They don't have the anointing of God to do the things. So now they're teaching and preaching under their own ideas, their own feelings, their own whatever they went to school on and learned. And they're not going to depart from that. But that's not bringing you into true Jesus, because they don't have Jesus in them. If we go to, I got a big thing here, Christ in you. If we go to Romans 8, he says, Romans 8, 9, but you are not of the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be the spirit of God dwells in you. But if any man has not the spirit of Christ, he has none of his. Again, the first thing you need is to have that spirit of Christ in you. If you don't have spirit of Christ in you, how can you know him? How could you possibly know Jesus? How can you possibly get to know the Father? You can't. That spirit of Christ has to be implanted into you. It's got to be something also. It comes here in 8:29 says, for whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Again, it's an election. So that person has to be an elect person. There has to be a called person. Maybe we have the spirit of Christ in them. So nobody that doesn't have that, they're never going to know Christ. They're never going to know God. They might know something that looks like God, but it's unless God's called them and put that spirit in them, they're not going to have the image of Jesus Christ growing in them. Goes on to say, whom he predestined, those who he called, whom he called, those he justified, whom he justified, those he glorified. So I'm just saying, before we can put the cart before the horse, that has to be in place. Spirit of Christ has to be in that person first and foremost before there's any growth. And then to get that growth, it's got to be nurtured and brought up in the truth that's going to encourage that, to bring it into the image of Jesus Christ. If we go to Ephesians, chapter 6 is it? Let's see, I got it here. Or chapter 4. Ephesians 4:4. There is one body and one spirit, even also you were called in one hope for your calling, one faith, one Lord, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's over all and through all in all. He goes on to say, now he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors, some teachers for the perfecting of the saints. So there's this work that has to be done in the saints. And that's what this fivefold ministry does. They're going to perform this work to the work of the ministry, to the building of the body of Christ, and until we all attain to the unity of the faith and knowledge of the Son of God, the knowledge of the Son of God, to the full grown man, to the measure and stature of the fullness of Christ. So we need to have this fivefold ministry in place in order to help build us up, bring us up in the image and fullness of Christ. Not that we can't work on it ourselves, because we have that responsibility to be in the Word daily. But we need also this nurturing from this fivefold ministry to help make that happen, because that's how the Lord does things. He's working through us and in us with this fivefold ministry. So first we need that Spirit of God. We have been called by God. We have to have been elect and called and chosen. And then we have to have the good ministry that's supporting that. And we have to be in the Word ourselves. And we got to be constantly being perfected in the image of Christ. So we grow up in the one faith and one Lord and one baptism. That's how I say it. That's how you're going to get to know the true Jesus, is you got to be under that whole ministry right there in the first place, under that God anointed ministry that's going to bring that up inside of you. That's all I want to say.
Okay. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, basically, you know, what I see in, you know, everything that everybody shared is you know, like Pat brought out, if my sheep hear my voice and will not follow another one, how do we know the Lord's voice? We know his voice by his word. If we don't know God's word, if we don't read God's word and put it into action and obey it, that's how we know the Lord. That's how we have a relationship with the Lord. You know, it's basically that's a simplified version of everything that everybody said, you know. Without the word, you know, the Lord said, the words which I've spoken to you are spirit and life. That's how we know the Lord's voice, because the word is the spirit. you know, the sword of the Lord is, you know, our sword is the word of God, which spirit is the word of God. And, you know, and as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. You know, those are matured ones. Those are ones that are following the Spirit and know the Lord. Because if you're following the Spirit, you know, you hear his voice, you know him, you know, you're having interaction with him. And the word is the most important thing in knowing the Lord, period. Reading it, obeying it, and praying what you read, you know, talking to the Lord about what you read. So, yeah.
So what you're saying is if you don't read the word and you hear a, and you hear a voice, that could be a, it could be some, misdirection there, huh? That's right. Reading the word and studying the word is imperative. Okay, Dominique, go ahead.
Okay, so what I was going to say, I was actually going to add something to what I was saying earlier, but it slipped my mind. Like, Peter's a good example of, like, he was seeing Jesus and, you know, interacting with him, but I feel like he knew Jesus a lot more after Jesus went to heaven because, you know, he sent down the Holy Spirit so he could really understand what Jesus was saying at that point and was able to walk it out because he actually understood what he meant. So I think a lot of Christians, like, they're kind of like Peter in that sense prior to, you know, the book of Acts, not, you know, after the book of Acts, when he was actually walking how Jesus walked. In order to walk like somebody, you also have to know who they are. And so I think Jesus was trying, but I don't, or sorry, I think Peter was trying, but I don't think he was sort of missing the mark until after, you know. So that's just kind of like what I was talking about, how, you know, he didn't really know him too personally. Even though they had many interactions, I feel like he knew him a lot more after. You know, the gospel. Yeah, that's just something I wanted to add to what I was saying prior.
Well, absolutely he did. Absolutely he did. All right, thank you. Because he didn't know anything, right? Even after he was crucified, even after Jesus was crucified, he didn't know it. If you remember, they said, let's go fishing, boys. This is over. But anyway, go ahead, Benita.
When I was studying earlier today, I was listening to David speaking about you have to, Christ will confess you to his Father if we confess Christ. And so if you're not confessing Christ, then he's not going to confess you. So just to add that onto the layers of scripture that have been shared already. But then also, I get this heaviness in my heart just coming out of a church and thinking that I was just really being taught the truth and by people that were so committed to the Lord and on fire for him from what I felt. And yet so deceived because they had been taught a certain way and believed a certain way. Just can't come out of that. You can't. And so it just, you know, that's just so heavy on me because, and I, it's heavy on me, but then I know that the Lord can bring them out of that. He's done it to all of us. So I know that that's possible. But so as I was, you know, the thing that came up today was just talking about the Trinity, the triune God and the oneness. And so I was studying that today. And because we have friends that are actually here from Gulf Shores, Alabama today. They've been here for the last couple of days. And they were from our old church. And so they were talking about, well, you know, I was telling them about David, the ministry, and They were like, well, what does he believe about the triune God? And I'm like, I don't really know much about that right now. So I really studied it out today. And I know what we were taught. And then I was listening to David and I was like, oh, wow, what? I didn't see that before. I just, you know, even just the verse that Dave read today, and it was just all about one and one and one. It's like, yeah, one. No, not that one. It's just not that way. And as I was reading it, I could see the difference. I could see it. No, it's like I couldn't see it before, but now as I read it through what he's showing me, it makes sense. But I couldn't find that. I guess I, when I read it, I don't see it. I just see what they showed me. So it was nice to see it this way. But I just, I don't know. That's it.
Amen. Yeah, that's a good teaching he has. His, what's the name of that? Oneness, Trinity, or something else?
Yeah, the Holy Spirit of Truth, which comes from the Father. The truth about the Trinity.
Ah, okay. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Benita. Go ahead, Greg.
This might not be as deep as some of the other comments, but there was we were talking before, and I came to mind a story or a page in a book I had read, and I was just going to read it out. It has to do with knowing his voice, if you will indulge me, because I like this story. A Bedouin stood looking across a busy highway, four sheep by his side. Massive trucks rumbled past, shaking even the modern hotel behind him. Honor, it's a great name because I gave it to my daughter, Honor, waiting for an elevator to go down for breakfast, looked out the window and noticed the shepherd and his tiny flock. The Bedouin typified the contrast between ancient tradition and modern innovation she'd encountered during her visit to Petra, the hidden city carved out of rock in the Jordan Desert. As she watched, the traffic thinned. At last, there was a break, but instead of gathering his sheep and hurrying across the road, the Bedouin called out, just one word. On the far side of the road, hidden from Honor's gaze until that moment, stood three more sheep. One of them trotted over to join the shepherd. Heavy trucks thundered past once more. At the next break in traffic, the Bedouin called out again, a different word this time. One of the remaining sheep hurried across the road, but only one. Honor realized, awed, that he was calling the sheep by name. Each sheep waited until it heard its own name, the signal that it was safe to cross the highway. She let the elevator go by, her breath caught in her throat as she watched and sensed the patience and obedience of the sheep. Finally, the highway was clear, the Bedouin called the last name, and the sole remaining sheep trotted over to him. All together now, the little flock moved off and soon disappeared from sight. End of story, that's it. It's just got one verse at the end. The watchman opens a gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. That's John 10:3 out of the NIV. Sorry, it's NIV. But yeah, sorry. I just thought that was I don't know, a pertinent illustration to knowing that name, knowing that voice, I should say.
Amen.
Next hand.
Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Pat.
Sorry, you caught me unexpected. I was thinking about that story. That was a good story. Thanks, Greg. I just wanted to flip up, back up to Sue's verse again. Sorry, it was in Matthew. That was the last verse that she read, Matthew 7:23, and it was kind of fits into what we're talking about here. And it kind of reveals where the modern day church is in a certain amount of misunderstanding, because it says in that verse, he says, and then will I profess unto them, excuse me, I'm sorry, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And he said, ye, though they didn't know him, and because of that not knowing him, they work iniquity. That iniquity, the word means lawlessness. And there was something that I had noticed, but really never dug into it. As I was listening, it's kind of a typical preaching and a typical misconception in the modern day church. And it goes kind of like this, you know, Jesus came to live the law because he knew we couldn't live it. So he lived it for us. And so by application or implication, we simply do the best we can. We'll sin our way through life and everything, but we know that Jesus lived our life. So because he knew we couldn't live, he lived the law, and therefore we couldn't, we know he knew that we couldn't live that law. So, and they misinterpret that, because Jesus saved us from the works of the law for righteousness, but they don't continue on with the next thought that we, that I think it's, isn't it in Romans 8:1? You know what, I'm going to flip over there real quick so I don't stumble over myself. Sorry about that. I'm slow on this. So what happens? There is therefore no condemnation unto them that are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. And obviously that, for what the law could not do, that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, so that the ordinances of the law, or the righteousness, I like the way King James says it, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled us, in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And the misconnection that modern day Christianity has is that there's that concept that Jesus separated us from the law, and therefore there is no other requirement upon our life. And instead of separated us from the law of Moses that we attempted to live by unto righteousness, now he has given us a new law of the Lord, that we are now, and by law I mean much like the law of gravity. His word is true, is absolutely sure, and it has the power and strength of a law, like the law of gravity. If it always works if you align yourself up in the proper way and believe it and walk in it, in that truth, it always works. It's a law. And if it isn't working, there's something within me that is in violation and not aligning up properly with that spiritual law of the Lord. But so when the disciples of modern day Christianity believe that they are separated from the law, a law, the law towards God, then they dwell automatically in lawlessness, which is iniquity. And that lawlessness, also disobedience, also disables them from walking with God and knowing God. So I guess I have to thank Sue. She really brought out a good chapter there. So that's all I had.
Amen. All right, Missy.
Oh, geez, I was unmuted. I didn't realize it was. one thing that I forgot to mention when I was saying what I was saying earlier about God's word and knowing his voice and the word is a spirit and all, Jesus is the word. So if you don't know the word and obey the word, you don't know the Lord, you know, because in the beginning was the word and the word was with God and the word was God. And it's talking about Jesus, of course. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And it's all talking about Jesus. So I just wanted to add that.
Amen. Go ahead, Sue.
I was thinking of the one that Angelica mentioned about Philippians 3. They talked about to know him and the power of, to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. And I was thinking how Paul, when he was when Paul was ministering to the people, he went through so many trials and tribulations and persecutions and stuff. And that I think that's part of knowing Christ is going through those, allowing yourself to go through those persecutions. I mean, he could have said, "I'm done. I'm not going through this stuff anymore," but he didn't. He kept on going. And even the part before that, if I can read it, chapter 3 of Philippians 7, but whatever things were gained to me, I don't remember if Angelica read this or not, whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. And then it says that I may know him. But that made me think about, even in connection with the scripture the Lord gave me earlier, I look at that in connection with some of these leaders that are out there, and you know, and pertaining to what Pat was saying about lawlessness and everything. They did a lot of signs and wonders, but their life is not really right with the Lord, because I kind of wonder whether they went through any of the sufferings of Christ. Because, well, I tell you, when you go through those tribulations and sufferings, it's not an easy thing. You want to give up. Lord, I can't take this anymore. Get me out of here. That's what you feel like. But it's not. It's for our good. It's for our good to go through those trials and tribulations. In fact, I had a little bit of a conversation with my daughter over that. Sometimes those things are for our good, so that we will press on. Because that's what Paul said in Philippians. He says, press on, press on for the prize. And that's hard to press on. But how are we going to get to know that portion of Christ? That's a portion of him too. I go through the same kind of sufferings. Lord, help me. Yeah. Amen. That's it.
Amen. All right, Andrew, when are you going to say something?
Well, makes me kind of wonder, you know, just like that verse in Matthew 7, that they had all these works. And of course, each one It says there, in his name, I prophesied in thy name, and in thy name casted out demons, and in thy name did many mighty works. It's almost like this person maybe forgot what it says over there in 138, Psalms 138, that he puts his word above his name. But, you know, it makes me also wonder if you read the love chapter in 1 Corinthians. It's talking about the people who have really gifted speaking with their tongue. And, of course, they even can speak with the tongue of angels. There's your gift of tongues. And they seem to be having no love. So, you know, you can lack in love, but these guys here in these four verses here have no love. So maybe they didn't have that first gift of the Spirit. This is the love of Jesus in you. This is the love of the Father in you. So, you know, these first few verses, you know, it talks about prophecy too, you know, and faith to move mountains even. So they had that gift of the Spirit of faith, but they didn't have enough fruit of the Spirit of faith. It's kind of what I think, because, you know, love is mentioned first there, you know, just like love is mentioned first in the fruit of the Spirit, but the fruit of the flesh, the first one that's mentioned there, and it's very pertinent, is fornication. And we know that is to take the Lord's word and say it has no meaning. So it seems to me that you have some people who might be very gifted here. You know, they might be going to university and stuff and know how to speak left words and backwards and right. Know all those big talented words. And, you know, they don't have the love they need. And here's one with knowledge, you know. Knowledge is pretty cool here, because over here in the fifth verse, it talks about puffed up. And if you go to First Corinthians chapter 8, there it mentions the puffed up person and the built up person. So again, you know, you can have knowledge like a Pharisee, or you can have knowledge like someone who loves Jesus. And you know, it also mentions, I think in chapter 5, that there were some people there with the mistake the young lad had there, that they were puffed up, but you should have rather mourned, see. So they knew what he was doing was wrong, but apparently it didn't help this young lad. So, and I think it had to do with the divisions that were in the church spoken of before that, so. And of course, it's talking about a person who doles out all his money and goods. There are actually some people who think that because they're Christian, they have to be a pauper and living out on the street. You know, they can't have anything, you know. And it is true that the love of money is the root of all evil, until you read what it says there. I think it's either in the Timothy's or Titus, that if you're going to be rich, you better be rich in good works. So, you know, the people who sold their land in the book of Acts, this was extra land. It wasn't the house they lived in. So, you know, to be fair to the people who do have a little bit of money, you know, that he sold that land he had plans for and put it at the feet of the apostles. And then you got the two people after that who kept some money back, but the first guy did it right. So, and so there's a lot of ideas in the church. That's what I find, that kind of ruin it for a lot of people. And it can really lead a Christian to a real bad lifestyle. And, you know, you have to be rescued then after that by the Lord, because you have these sayings and mantras that can really destroy a person and because they don't understand. And I kind of like what David Eales told me once. If you don't understand something, just put it on the shelf, ask the Lord about it, and he'll reveal it to you later. And that's also showing you that the Lord is interested in you, and he's speaking to you, and he's calling out to you with his voice. That's just, you know, sometimes when we talk about one topic, if anyone else is listening in, you know, on this particular show, you know, they're going to say, man, these guys, you know, they're pretty tough, you know. So you really have to be careful and just put it on the shelf and the Lord will reveal it to you. That's all. Because he loves you. Why wouldn't he want to tell you something? Your dad would tell you something if he had to tell you something. So does Jesus, and so does the Father. Praise the Lord. Glory to God.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Dominique, go ahead. I'll get right to you, Dave.
Okay, this will just be real quick. I just got a question. I had a dream like months ago, and it became very relevant recently. I've been meaning to ask everybody about it. I'm not going to do it this night. I know we don't got a lot of time. But I just wanted to see if maybe next, like on Thursday or something, if you guys wouldn't mind if I shared it then. And just because I've been told to just ask you guys about it. Maybe one of you would have an interpretation of it. I think it would be interesting to share because it's super strange. And I want to just get your guys' take on it. And I also, I just got a quick question, Mike. What was the book you told me to read yesterday? I didn't write it down, and so I forgot.
Weakness, the Way to God's Power.
Weakness is, wait, what was it? Sorry.
Let me show you. Well. It's Weakness, the Way to God's Power. Yeah, Weakness, the Way to God's Power.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate it. Yep. That's all I needed to know.
Okay. Go ahead, Dave.
I was just thinking there's one more thing that brought this to mind about getting to know the Lord and being able to follow him. In the Song of Solomon in 1:7 and 1:8, and David's taught on this is, it says, tell me, O thou who my soul loveth, where thou feedest thy flock, and where makest it rest at noon? For why should I be as one that is veiled besides the flocks of thy companions? Now, we're talking about a couple groups here. We're talking about those that are veiled, and they're beside these companion shepherds. What we also got, what's happening here, at noon, when it's the brightest out and you can see all things and nothing's hidden, that's where the rest is at too, where nothing's hidden, it's bright, everything is being exposed, there's no darkness. That's where you're finding this rest. But she doesn't want to be veiled when it's the brightest it can be. And when you have that opportunity to know the truth, she doesn't want to be when it's veiled by these companions like they are. And he tells her, if thou, in 1:8 says, if thou know not, O fairest among women, go thy way by the footsteps of the flock. In other words, don't necessarily walk with them, but you're by them. And feed thy kids besides the shepherd's tent. So he's saying, come out from among them and be you separate, and I'll receive you. He's not saying being in the shepherd's tent. When Jesus was here on the earth, he went in to teach, but he didn't stay there inside these, where the Pharisees were teaching in the synagogues. He went in there to call his people out, and he fed them outside the shepherd's tents. He fed them out in the wilderness. He fed them out by the seashore, but he never stayed inside those shepherd's tents. He was calling his people out. That's one of the things about the church today is we still have people in these shepherd's tents. If you're going to be fed correctly by the Lord, you have to come out from among them. That's pretty much that's how you're going to find the real Lord and the truth. And if that doesn't happen, you're still among them. You're not, you're being veiled. I just wanted to point that out.
Okay. All right. Well, it's been a good topic tonight. Just to kind of throw it in a little bit of short sum it up, is there's many stages in a Christian's life, but I think there's about four or five definite stages. And there's one that, you know, that Christ died. Well, they hadn't gotten off that he, they hadn't gotten past the cross yet. They're at the death, burial, but they hadn't, they know Christ is dead. But they hadn't gone to the crucifixion yet and resurrection, I mean the resurrection. And once you get to the resurrection, that's a better part. And that's still not the, the complete package. And just to skip over a couple of them because we're out of time, you want to get to the stage where there's rest in your heart, your satisfied heart, with knowing that God is living in you, he's directing your life, and there's nothing that you have to worry about. That's the mature Christian. So with that, Lord, we just thank you for this night tonight. I praise you, Father, for all the good word that was said tonight. And Lord, just like what someone, many have said tonight, getting in the word is the way to know you. And not only that, getting in the word and asking you to interpret the word to us. And Father, and as Dave said, it always helps to have the fivefold ministry working with you. And we just thank you for that also, Lord. And we thank you, Father, for bringing us all into that last step, that step of resting completely and knowing, even though we have all turmoil around us, Lord, and knowing that you've got us in your hand and everything that's happened to us has been ordained for one reason, and that's to mature us. And Father, we thank you for bringing us all into that completely surrendered, satisfied in our heart type of rest in you. And Lord, we thank you for it. Lord, be with us tonight as we all go to sleep or whatever it is. As some at just giving up. And Father, we ask that you bless our day and our night today and tonight and tomorrow, whatever. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father, for doing all of that for all of us. Lord, we ask and we pray that you get that electricity turned on for everybody in Texas, Arkansas, and other places. Kentucky, I think, has some out, and all of them, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, good night, folks. God bless you.